In more than 100 cities across the United States on Friday, protesters were gathering outside federal buildings, congressional offices, and historic sites to oppose a new mandate from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services that requires all employers to provide free contraceptives, sterilizations, and abortion-inducing drugs through their health plans, even in violation of their consciences. A nationally prominent Catholic speaker, author, and radio host, Al Cresta, is the national spokesman for Stop HHS, an initiative of Ave Maria Radio that is sponsoring the Stand Up for Religious Freedom rallies. He told Chris Altieri the issue is one that concerns all citizens.
Well, this is really what's happened in the United States has been unprecedented. This is the first time in our history that the federal government has actually proactively forced a religious institution to engage in an activity that that institution teaches is intrinsically evil. And so what we have is the federal government commanding, in this particular case, the Catholic Church, to purchase health insurance for its employees that cover contraception, abortifacient drugs, sterilization, all practices which the Catholic Church has taught consistently are intrinsically evil. So we've never had this situation before in the United States. Members of the Church understand what's at stake here. Many U.S. citizens, however, think that it's merely about contraception. So we've got a split in our understanding in the United States over what is at stake here. But it is, I've talked to at least three dozen constitutional scholars, historians, political activists, bishops, and to a person. Everyone has said that they have never seen this kind of activity before in the history of the United States.
Well, one of the things that I think it probably bears mentioning in this is the way that the HHS mandate, that's the Health and Human Services mandate, which is implementing, it's a regulatory regime that's implementing the legislative reform of the country's healthcare system. But that it's not simple in its operation. In other words, it creates a religious an exemption for what it styles religious institutions, and then goes on to define that exemption so narrowly that any group with any institutional affiliation with a church that that is doing good for fellows without regard to proselytization or to other factors like that are basically excluded from the rubric, if you will, of religious institution. And that's a pretty radical privatization, if you will, of the of religion, something much different from what we usually experience in the United States.
This is an attempt to redefine religion. There's a movement afoot in the United States to redefine religious liberty, to trim it back so that it's nothing more than what they call a right to worship, by which they mean a right to get together, for mass or to somehow engage in orthodox opinions. So there is this trimming back of religious liberty so that it means nothing more than a right to worship. So clearly that's going on here, this, as you point out, a radical privatization. Coupled with that is the demand that you, in a way, that you keep to your own kind here. You mentioned the religious exemption. You're right, there is a narrow religious exemption, so that as long as you're engaging in religious indoctrination, or somehow working only with your own kind, Catholics, Baptists, Buddhists, then you may qualify for a religious exemption here. But as soon as you begin to offer a cup of cold water in Jesus' name to somebody who's not baptized, you cease to, you no longer qualify for the exemption. So it's an amazing thing, because while in this case Catholic parishes may qualify for the exemption, Catholic social services, Catholic charities, Catholic hospitals, Catholic colleges and universities, Catholic media operations, they would not qualify for the religious exemption because, one, they reach out to people who are non-Catholic, and secondly, they are hiring non-Catholics to be involved in their organization. So we've got a scaling back of religious liberty to a right to worship. We've got pressure put on religious institutions to no longer serve those who are outside their immediate community. I mean, can you imagine a Catholic hospital having to ask somebody who, you know, comes to the emergency room, not where does it hurt, but where were you baptized? Can you imagine a Catholic soup kitchen, for instance, having to say to somebody who approaches them for food, not "Are you hungry?" but "What do you believe?" So that's the situation that we're facing. So that we've got Catholic groups that are as thoroughgoingly Catholic as Catholic charities, Catholic social services, Catholic hospitals and universities, Catholic colleges and media organizations, all those institutions don't qualify as religious according to this new definition that's being proposed by the Department of Health and Human Services.
The American people are going through one of their periodic reconsiderations of the role of religion in public life. But this HHS mandate, the fact that something of this nature and on this scale is being attempted at the federal level, suggests perhaps that something is different in the discussion this time around.
Well, as you point out, there's always periodic reconsideration, especially over the last 80 years in the history of American political discourse. What is the First Amendment? What is religious liberty? And so we are engaged in that now. But there is something a little different this time. I believe that in many ways we're theologically and biblically more illiterate than we've ever been. I think in the United States, we've had a generation where we have not had the strongest catechesis that we've ever seen. And I think that we are vulnerable right now to accepting a popular culture understanding of worship and religion. It's an understanding which sees religion as simply a matter of personal opinion. It sees religion as simply a right to engage in religious ritual. It doesn't see religion as a full-blown relationship with God, which then motivates you to engage in acts of public service. It doesn't see religion as a type of worldview by which you answer the most fundamental questions of life. Questions like, who am I? Where am I? What's wrong with this place? What's the solution to the problem of evil? So I think that the people of the United States are a little further on down the road towards secularization themselves. And I also think the American people are more polarized on this issue than they've ever been. So I think that's why the HHS mandate has gained as much steam as it has. And, of course, there are necessary political considerations here, which we're in a general election year. So I think that's going to sharpen the concerns of all the political actors.
Let me ask you this, because it's come up a couple of times sort of obliquely. You mentioned fact of weak catechesis over the past 40 years or so. And I'm just wondering, that while that's certainly true, a lot of these things, for example, that artificial forms of birth control are inherently evil, that life begins at conception. These aren't things that require supernatural faith to believe in the first place. You hear very often Catholic leaders who should be praised for their desire to strengthen and to make Catholic identity known and felt in the public square, but will say things like, as Catholics, we believe that life begins at conception. While that's true and life does begin at conception, it's not a supernaturally revealed truth. It's one of those things that the church teaches because it's true. It's not one of those things that we know is true because the church teaches it, you know, like God is one in three.
Right.
So I'm thinking of this because in his remarks to the bishops who were here on their ad limina visits on the 19th of January, I think it was, the Holy Father talked about the need for the church to bring rational arguments into the public square. And I'm just looking around and wondering how well we're doing that.
Well, again, you raise a very good point. While indeed these are truths of natural law and are discoverable by natural reason, we also know that sin in the heart can produce error in the head, and that we can, in fact, even our natural reason can be obscured. It can't be lost, but it can be obscured. And many of us believe that that's part of the problem here, that while we don't need a divine revelation, a supernatural act for these truths to be comprehended, yet when there's been a searing of conscience, when there's been a resistance to living the truth, then there are acts of rationalization and obfuscation that go on. So while I certainly agree that these are truths of natural law and are discoverable by natural reason, I still think it's important for the church to understand its role, not just as a teacher of supernatural truths, but as a custodian and a maintainer of natural truths. So I would still bring it back to the fundamental teaching role of the church. Again, there's a great lack of respect for the role of reason in public life. Popular culture rarely holds up the traditions of wisdom. Popular culture is very much about the stimulation of our passions and our emotional life. It's very much about sensation and attempts to satisfy oneself through intense music, various types of substances, superficial relationships. So lifestyles of that sort tend to obscure even the basic truths of reason, truths that have to do with male and female, truths which have to do with fundamental obligations of responsibility that we have towards children and spouses. So I think we are, in the United States, we're engaged in a very serious deterioration of fundamental religious truths, fundamental natural truths.
Now, these events on Friday are meant as to rally the troops, as it were, and to make the Catholic presence, and not only the Catholic presence, really, but the presence of people of goodwill who share our understanding of the gravity of the threat to religious liberty and to the traditional, if you will, American understanding of the relationship of the role of religion in public life. But going forward in an effort to not only resist this encroachment, but also to repair the culture, the church is going to need to reach out to and engage with the broader public, many members of which quite simply don't share our presuppositions in the regards that we've been talking about. I'm thinking of the odd extra element of the conversation.
In the United States, there's actually been a great deal of cooperation between Catholics and non-Catholic Christians. American evangelical Protestants and Catholics have worked very closely together on the pro-life issue. So there's a lot of ecumenism in the trenches that's going on. I'm honestly not in the position to be able to judge what the relationships are between bishops as leaders of dioceses and the hierarchy and leadership of non-Catholic religious institutions. I certainly get the impression that there's respect, and I get the impression that there's occasional working together on issues of relief, in particular, when there's emergency situations. We are reaching out to those outside the visible boundaries of the Catholic Church. And I have to say that on this particular issue, American Protestant evangelicals have actually been quite good and quite responsive. Very early on, the leadership of the Southern Baptist Convention, the National Association of Evangelicals, historic Pentecostal denominations have all shown interest in cooperation and have, in some cases, gone out on a limb to let people know that this is not merely a Catholic issue, but that this is a First Amendment issue, and that it goes right to the heart of what it means to be a citizen of the United States. We are having a difficult time, not because of the ill will of non-Catholic Christians, but because of the unwillingness of the mainstream media to understand this as something other than an issue of contraception.
The media, I think, and being a newsman myself, I understand what it is to smell a good story. And there was conflict, there was drama, there were all of those elements of a good story in the original agitation. You had right. People with their dander up and a legitimate gripe, and that makes for news. The president then came out with what he proposed as an accommodation. And it was sort of a back-of-the-napkin sort of thing that he gave at a press conference right before ultimately finalizing the rule as it was in the Federal Registry. But at that point in the narrative, the media sort of, the mainstream media in the United States turned, you know, went back to other things. Now, again, we're in an election year. There's the primary challenges going on, and there's a lot of other things happening. So it might not be the kind of time for a story like this to get traction. But the issues, the substantive issues are very much there still. And to the extent that it is in the media, it has been about contraception and access to contraception. I find that extremely perplexing because unless I've completely misunderstood what's happening here, this isn't the Catholic Church telling people that they can't have contraception. It's the Catholic Church telling the government that the church will not be forced to pay for it.
In fact, we've had state laws which have required contraceptive coverage. And those state laws, however, have permitted institutions, say, for instance, the Archdiocese of New York, to self-insure, to come up with a creative alternative. And so in the past, in fact, one of the organizations that I head up, Ave Maria Radio, in fact, self-insured for a long time. So we've had creative alternatives where we could avoid having to pay for coverage that provides contraception and abortion. The federal mandate, however, stops. It forces us to stop self-insuring. We no longer have that creative alternative.
I've kept you for a half hour now. I promised I'd have you off in 10 minutes, and I'm sorry about that. I've just enjoyed the conversation, and you sounded like you were on a roll, so I let you go. But if you had, let's say between 30 and 90 seconds to tell me why I need to care about what happens Friday and why I should care about religious liberty, what would you say to me?
Well, to be a faithful disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ means to be able to live out our faith in all the particulars of our life. We're now facing an unprecedented situation in the United States where Catholic institutions are being forced to engage in activities and purchase products that they have been teaching against for 2,000 years. It's important to gather together to, again, sound the alarm and to reawaken interest on the part of the American people generally that what we're facing here is not just a narrowly Catholic concern about contraception, but in fact what we're facing is an assault upon religious liberty and the First Amendment as it's been understood throughout the long stretch of American history.